Now, there's another song that has to do with love. You have a website called www.jinglelady.com, J-I-N-G-L-E-L-A-D-Y.com. And go to your website and you click on links, and then you can get to this YouTube video of you doing this particular song. It's a Stephen Sondheim song, and what's it called?
It's called Not Getting Married Today, and it's from Company. It's another masterpiece.
And she sings this at about 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, I do.
Everybody here, because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate you going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it before. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because it wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. Thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. I don't know what you're waiting for. A wedding. What's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I ever heard, which is followed by a honeymoon, which suddenly you feel like you're saddled with enough. Want to kill me, which you should. Thanks a bunch, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, because I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there, I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye, go and cry at another person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening, but please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Listen, everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear it. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who will be ruining his life. You know, both of us are losing our identity. I tell him I'm an analyst about it, and he said to see him Monday, but my mouth will be floating in the hustle of the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been 12, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul that I'm not getting married today. Watch me die like Eliza on the ice. But perhaps I'll collapse in the act right before you want to take back the cake, burn the shoes and spoil the roof. Look, I didn't want to detail that I may be coming down with hepatitis, and I think I'm going to faint. So if you wanted to be faint, I'll do it happily, but wouldn't it be funnier to know what you're doing? The thing with the 47 dead legs, the 37 bottom legs, the 47 table weights, the 57 candle holders. I'm not getting married. Oh, I'm not getting married. Still, I'm not getting married. See, I'm not getting married. Let us pray that we're not getting married.
Well, if you enjoyed listening to that, you got to go and watch the YouTube video of that. Did you ever mess up that song? I mean, you did it absolutely perfect, but do you ever screw up?
You know, I learned it very slowly. When I was in my car, we had made a track, and it was Part of Me Is Everybody Here, because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming. This Part of Me Is Everybody Here, because if everybody's here, Part of Me Is Everybody Here. And I worked on it for months and months, and finally one day I'm driving, I almost crashed my car on the LIE, and Part of Me Is Everybody Here, because everybody, and I finally was able to do it.
You did it, and it was wonderful, and we're going to go now to a few more commercials. We'll do 19 through 10. We'll do another 10 of them right now.
Wait a minute. Didn't we stop at 21?
21. We're going to do 20. You're right. Just keep me honest here.
Photographic memory. I remember everything you say. So be careful.
Okay. Do you remember what you had for breakfast today?
I had a half a grapefruit, a grain fruit a few minutes ago, and I'm so hungry. I can't wait to be finished. I got to go get a sandwich and Quiznos or something.
I call you December a few more times. We'll be finished before I want to be, I'm sure.
Okay, absolutely correct.
Number 20, ladies and gentlemen, is Nabisco. What'd you do for Nabisco?
We sang it in every key and made more money than you could ever believe. It was Nabisco. Ping!
Okay, Chef Boyardee is at number 19.
Boyardee. Boyardee. Chef Boyardee. That was a very short, abbreviated version.
Well, that's okay. And I hear some Snickers out there in the audience. And speaking of Snickers, number 18 is...
Snickers satisfies you. Oh, boy, I love Snickers. Oh, God, I love them.
Okay. Number 17 is a rapper, Eminem.
Eminem is a world of fun, a world of pure milk chocolate joy.
My name is Slim Shady, Eminem. Number 16. Oh, actually, we got a couple of gummy ones here. Number 16 is Wrigley's.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Gum, gum. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Gum, gum.
Number 15 is Double Mint.
Double dating, double birthed, double trouble with a double E. A double play in baseball. I never understood this. Artie explained it. Goes 6-4-3. But the single most favorite double in the world is double good, double good, double mint gum. But we sang 6-4-3, so we're watching the World Series. He says, there it is, 6-4-3. I don't know.
Double play.
A double play.
Number 14, and we actually have three automakers at 14, 13, and 12. What an amazing coincidence. Number 14 is Ford.
Have you driven a Ford lately?
Not really, but... Oh, I'm sorry, I was just answering your question.
I only drive Lexus.
Car one time that went over the cliff.
Huh?
Really?
A friend of mine had the car because he did the commercial, and... I used to take a bus to New York because I would fall asleep on a road because of all the stuff I had to do. And so he'd loan me his car, and he said, this is the car that went over the cliff, and I drove it back to my house.
What car went over the cliff? I don't...
That was a famous Ford commercial.
Okay. Never mind. If I wasn't on it, I don't care about it.
Hey, Artie, if she wasn't on it, it's not important. It's a nothing.
I think she was. They didn't show the film or anything.
Oh, right.
I don't even remember the film, but there were so many, my God.
Number 13 is Chevy Chase. No, it's just Chevy. Chevrolet.
It's the heartbeat of America. That's today's Chevrolet.
Great. And number 12 is Buick.
I gotta remember all these. Wouldn't you really rather have a Buick? A Buick? A Buick?
You have a photographic memory. This should be no problem, right? You're showing that.
I've got to pull up in it. How am I doing so far?
You're doing great. In fact, do you like a Diet Pepsi? Number 11.
Oh, you see it? Now you don't. So delicious. But it won't. Oh, Diet Pepsi. One small calorie. Now you see it. Now you don't. That great.
All right. That's
some of these commercials you did with just your voice. Some of them you did with other people. Is that right? And they vary.
Solos. A lot of them were groups. Yes.
All right. We're going to go to the top 10 in a few moments, and I'm sure none of you have any idea what the number one commercial could possibly be. But we'll get to it. I'm sure we're keeping people in suspense about that. And we're going to go back to Artie now. And Artie, we're going to talk about this arrangement you did for Liza Minnelli. Did she do this show in various places, or was it an extended run? What was it, for about 3 years?
The first time she did it was in Radio City Music Hall. And she opened with the song, and it's one of the rare times when the opening song gets a standing ovation.
It was the biggest thrill.
Yeah, we were in the fourth row.
And that opening song was Teach Me Tonight. This is a song that originally was a big hit by the DeCastro Sisters. As a result, largely, of your arrangement, Liza took the song to a new dimension, and it was so appreciated by the audience. We're going to listen to it right now. Liza Minnelli stopping the show at the beginning of the show with Teach Me Tonight.
Trying not to learn. See,
spot to learn. Teach me tonight, starting with the ABC of it, right down to the XYZ of it. Help me solve the mystery of it. Teach me tonight. The sky is a blackboard high above you. If a shooting star goes by, I'll use that star to write I love you. A thousand times across the sky.
Liza Minnelli, that's Liza with a Z, and Teach Me Tonight, and I am Ronnie Allen, and I am learning a lot of stuff from Linda November and Artie Schreck. And Artie, we'll talk about now a couple of records that you did the arrangements for, and the first one is Legendary by the Jersey Boy himself, the Jersey Boy lead singer, Mr. Frankie Valli. Tell me a little bit about the arrangement that you did on Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
It was a wonderful song. It was based on the idea of Frankie doing something that, although it has a rock and roll beat to it, it was a little bit jazzier for him to do as a top 40 record. And they basically brought me in because I was the jazz arranger, and Bob Gaudio, who produced the record, he said he wanted it to be like a Stan Kenton record. So there's a lot of things in there, like the trombone, which was one of Stan Kenton's trademarks. So that's how that record came about. We did it in a rock beat, but band and Frankie's singing was more jazz-oriented.
Of all the records that Frankie Valli has done over the years, a lot of people would say this is the most remembered. This session is Legendary, an arrangement by Artie Schreck. This is Frankie Valli and Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. I love you, baby.
Can't Take My Eyes Off You, Frankie Valli. An amazing arrangement. How many instruments were on that record?
Three trumpets, French horn, trombone, I think two saxophones, and a rhythm section.
When you write arrangements, like you write an arrangement for this song, what do you have? Music sheets in front of you and you just write one instrument at a time? Is that how it's done?
Believe it or not, that's how I used to do it when I was a kid, when I was in high school. But then somebody said, you know, there's a piece of paper that you can buy with all the instruments on it called a score paper. And you can write all the things. It'll have the two saxes, the trombone, the French horn, the three trumpets. And you write them, you can see what you're doing with all the instruments all at once, and then you send it to a copyist, and the copyist writes it out for all the players.
Now, Artie had his own score paper that he would get from these specific music copying places with his name in the upper right-hand corner, arranged by Artie Schrenk, and then he would handwrite each step on a big easel. I mean, it was enormous. I can't even...
It's like a blueprint, and then the copyist does it for all the instruments, which was much easier. I was basically a self-taught arranger. When I was in high school, I used to get bands together and write arrangements for them, each part separately. And by the time I got to the trombone part, I forgot what I wrote for the trumpets. So a score paper makes it a little bit easier.
All I could say, Artie, is you must have had a heck of a lot in your head, because being an arranger, you have to have a tremendous amount of imagination of knowing exactly where you want to go with something.
Well, that's the difference basically between an arranger and an orchestrator. An orchestrator, you'll use somebody else's ideas and write it out for the whole band. When you're an arranger, you're both arranger and orchestrator, and you have to figure out all the ideas and then put them on paper.
You arranged a song by the Cow Sills called We Can Fly. Anything interesting about this one?
Yes, it was called Artie Schrenk and His Happy Harps.
And His Happy Harps.
Yes, one of the reviews of the record, I think it's in Billboard, he said, an arrangement by Artie Schrenk and His Happy Harps.
Well, I'm not going to harp on that anymore. Let's just let's just listen to it right now. A little bit of We Can Fly.
Fluffy clouds move by,
see how the clouds move by,
see how the morning mist can
hide us away, and now it's so much fun.
What fun? Isn't it groovy in a daydream? Doesn't the day seem like it could never end?
And so my friend, we're one.
Maybe it's funny how I can feel so sorry
when you're beside me. We have fun.
That was a little of We Can Fly by the Cow Sills, arranged by Artie Schrenk. And you've done over the years dozens of arrangements?
Sure. You know, when you have a hit record like, say, Can't Take My Eyes Off You, you get a lot of calls from people to do arrangements. So I did quite a few arrangements for different recording artists and so forth. We're not hits because...
Everybody wanted to have money and everybody wanted to make records.
Yeah, everybody wanted to make records. They usually took their grandmother's money and...
And Artie was very nice about that. A lot of times he would say, I'm sorry, I can't take your grandmother's money.
In addition to Can't Take My Eyes Off You, you also did arrangements for Four Seasons Records, like I Got You Under My Skin, right?
Yes, Begging, Fell Into the Rain, quite a few of their records.
Very impressive. And right now, speaking of impressive, we're going to get back to Linda. Have to ask the question, Linda. You did so many things behind the scenes. But once you started doing this, did you ever have a fierce desire to say, hey, I want to do a Broadway show, I want to do something like that, and be more in front of the public, or were you just happy to kind of make all this money in anonymity?
That's a great question, Ronnie. I adored my career. I adored really every minute of it, except when I walked out on Neil Diamond and Donald Fagen, because they tried to make me sing for so many hours that I was bloody, you know? But seriously... The only time I felt a twinge is when I went to the theater and I went to all the shows and I said, oh dear, I could have done that. I mean, I could do that. And I knew that it was just never meant to be. And I was born you know, before my time in that genre, but, you know, it's something I had to live with. I would always get very tearful. I'd see a Julie Andrews, and I knew I could have played Eliza Doolittle. I could have played all those parts, but I didn't look the part, and it wasn't in the cards for me. It wasn't bashert, as we say in the Hebrew. It wasn't meant to be. This was meant to be.
Well, I think it's worked out pretty good. You seem pretty happy. You've been smiling a lot today.
Yeah, it worked out beautifully. It was a heck of a career, may I say, to have achieved this fat little ugly kid from Brooklyn. It's amazing. It's amazing. Sometimes I marvel.
Pinch yourself. Make sure it's true.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's still a thrill when we hear either my arrangements or Linda singing on a commercial. I mean, it never wears off.
Not for us.
For us, it doesn't wear off.
We're not blasé about it in any way, shape, or form.
We're going to have the top 10 Linda November jingles in just a moment, but first we're going to play a few recordings that you sang on, and these are hit recordings. How about Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Now, this is one of many Dionne Warwick records that you did backup vocals on.
That's right, and that's me and the great Valerie Simpson of Ashford and Simpson singing the Wo-Wos.
Parking cars and pumping gas. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not the best whoa-woer, but...
That's pretty good.
Oh, okay, thank you. You're being very kind. Linda, you're the expert whoa-woer. Can you do just a little whoa, 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 whoa now?
Whoa, 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 whoa. And Artie's doing it.
Wait a minute. Wait, Artie, I didn't know that was part of the arrangement there.
It sure is. It comes right after the bullet. I guess. Gary Chester and his bass drum.
I had a rock and roll record out called Flip Over You. Gary Chester was my drummer at Regent Sound Studios in New York.
May he rest in peace.
He was great. We should do a show about him someday, and maybe we will.
His son, Gary Chester, we're very dear old friends. He was a great sound engineer. We did a million jingles together.
And you were heard on After the Lovin' by Engelbert Humperdinck.
Everybody calls that those Linda November records. It's really all me.
Let's hear a little bit of After the Lovin' by Engelbert Humperdinck.
So I sing you to sleep after the lovin' with a song I just wrote yesterday, and I hope you can hear what the words and the music have to say. Thanks for taking me on a one-way trip to the sun. Thanks for turning me into someone. And I know that my song isn't saying anything new. Oh, but after the loving,
And you are also on a record by Barbara Streisand called Stony End. Were you doing the session with Barbara?
We did it together. We were in Vegas. She was at the Hilton, which is now the International. Well, the International, rather, that became the Hilton, right?
Yeah. It was the International.
It was the International. Elvis used to be there. And we were with Burt Bacharach at the Riviera. So we used to hang out every night after our shows. Babs used to come over, and we used to hang with her band, and we used to hang together, and she said to us, let's do this album. So we went in and we recorded that, so we did that whole Stony End album in Vegas.
You didn't just do Stony End, which we're going to play.
No, we did a lot of stuff on the album.
Stony End was the title song, was a top 10 hit for Barbara, and it was probably the closest that Barbara ever came to being a rock and roll singer, right?
You know, she wanted to be Carole King. That was her thing.
She wanted to be Carole King.
Intrigued with Carole that this was what she thought she should do.
Actually, this particular song was written by the late, great Laura Nyro.
A lot of work with, too, Laura.
Oh, yeah. Drums on her second album.
This is a great song by Laura Nyro, sung by Barbara Streisand, and backup vocals by Linda November. This is Stony End. One more backup record that you did, and in fact, this was a big disco hit, and this song, there's no better accolade for a songwriter than to have his song become a hit in one decade, and then the next decade, and the next decade, and this has to be one of the most successful copyrights of all time, a song called Babyface. What can you tell us about the Babyface session?
Well, my dear friend Harold Wheeler, Uranger, and Miko Minardo, and Tony Bon Jovi. Actually, Tony Bon Jovi, you know, who had a recording studio, and he's also John Bon Jovi's first cousin. Wonderful engineer, nice guy, and Miko is an old friend. They were all very dear friends. Said, look, we want to do this disco thing, and we really need you to do it. I was so busy doing jingles, I had no interest, no time, enough already. But they begged me, and we'll do it late at night, 11 o'clock at night, blah, blah, blah. We'll give you your tuna fish sandwiches and your sour pickle and your Dr. Brown's cream soda. We did this, it was the Fife and Drum Bugle Corps. Marty did some stuff with them, a wonderful album called Bicentennial, wonderful disco stuff. He did a lot of stuff. I did, I guess, the first three albums, and I had the most fun. On Babyface, I sang all the parts, which was a riot. And then I used other girls, you know, on it because it started to get a bit much to do myself, you know, from singing four, double, a triple, a third part, double, triple, second part, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It turned out to be the mega hit, and it was a thrill to go to Regine's and go to the discos and hear yourself. You know, it was a trip. It was fabulous.
The biggest problem was getting the name of the group, which was actually called the Wing and a Prayer, Fife and Drum Corps, on the label.
You got the cutest little baby face.
I'm reading here that some of the other vocalists were, in addition to you, Vivian Cherry, Arlene Martel, and Helen Miles, I believe.
Yeah.
We have to get to the top 10 commercials that you've done. Number 10 is Hellman's.
At the party, bring out the flavor and bring out the zest. Just bring out the Hellman's and bring out the best.
I remember that one. Number 9, GE, General Electric.
GE, we bring good things to live in. We bring good things to life.
Number 8 is Windex.
Shine, Windex makes it shine. Windex lets you bring all the sun in, let it shine.
Number 7 is Wendy's.
Wendy's, oh God, you know what, I don't... What the hell was the jingle? I think you got me there.
Okay, well...
I've lost my mind.
Make one up. Wendy's, Wendy's. Oh, do the Beach Boys. Wendy, da-da-da-da-da-da, okay.
When,
good enough. Good enough. Number 6 is McDonald's.
Which one? You deserve a break today, so get up and get away at McDonald's. We do it all for you. You're the one. Take it so long. We got a million of them.
All right.
9,000.
Number 5 is Burger King.
You can't hold hands. You have with a Whopper or the...
Okay. That was that, and I did the arrangement for it.
That's fair. Right. You all be pun for little cheese. That's one. This doesn't be fun.
That's McDonald's.
Wait a minute. That's McDonald's.
That's yes. McDonald's. I have to. They all go into each other.
And she's got a photographic memory, ladies and gentlemen.
Have it your way. Have it your way at Burger King.
Much better.
Have it your way.
Number 4 is Miller.
You've got the time, we've got the beer. Miller tastes too good to hurry through. That's it.
Number 3 is Budweiser.
When you say Bud, you said it all.
And number 2, Coca-Cola.
I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love, but the other one was the Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I remember that.
A Coke and a smile. That was another one. But of course, Teach the World to Sing is probably the most famous.
But far and away, ladies and gentlemen, the number 1 commercial done by our wonderful guest, Linda November, is Meow Mix. And Linda, what's the story behind Meow Mix?
I got the call from Lucas McFall, from Tom McFall, who wrote it, to come and do the spot. Now, when we do a spot, they always would show us the film, and that day they didn't show us the film, and Jerry Delafamina, the genius in advertising, said, can't show it to you because you won't be able to sing. You'll be crying. So, okay, we can't. It's meow, 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 meow. We sing the song. The girls come in. We do the underscore, the bridge, you know, for the voiceover. And then they say to me, you need to just look at, in those days it was not a computer, it was a movie-oli. You have to look at the cat. We're not happy with the last meow of the picture. And they showed me the picture, and I looked at her, and she licked her chops, and then, meow. And the third time they said, perfect. They came in, they spliced it, they handed us glasses of champagne and Kleenex tissues, put it on, and it was meow, 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 meow. And I see this cat with my voice coming out, oh, I started crying. And all of us were teary-eyed. And it was the most successful spot ever, and I did it exclusively for 17 years.
The one we're going to play is the original one, right?
Yes, that's the original.
We interrupt this show for a word from our sponsor.
Meow, 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 meow,
New Meow Mix from Purina. The cat food with 3 separate flavors in one package. 3 flavors that cats love best. Tuna, liver, and chicken. Meow Mix tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
And that is surely the cat's meow.
It's iconic. It's world famous. They know it in every country and every language.
Do you do meows in different languages?
You can.
Could you do 5 more? Before we close the show, could you do about 10 seconds of some live meows just for us?
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay.
I'll send you the bill in the morning.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure it will be pretty big, too. Well, Linda November and Artie Schreck, the two of you are so very special to me, And hopefully, we have let people know that the music world is not just build singers, not just songwriters, not just producers, but there are background singers and there are arrangers who also help make the world go round. And without you, without the backup singers, without the arrangers, it would be very difficult.
Ronnie, there's one thing too as well that you might want to talk about. Besides the background singers and the arrangers, there are the sidemen. As Artie wrote, I call them sidemen, but I'm proud to have had them by my side.
Right.
The greatest musicians in the world on these sessions, and without them playing the notes that Artie wrote for us, for the sidemen, the singers,
right,
and for the musicians such as George Young and Bucky Pizzarelli and Tony Mottola and Bill Hinton and George Divide and Bernie Glow and Saul Rubin and Gary Chester and Billy Steiger, and you could go George Devins, Jerry Fisher, you could mention all of the greatest players, Zoot Sims, Al Cohn.
They didn't become famous, but they were probably as good as any of the guys that became famous.
John Faddis, Marvin Sam, the greatest players in the world. They did get the recognition that they're due.
We're going to close the show now. You did a concert with Artie, the two of you. Was this 2008? You did the Suncoast?
Yes, it was.
The song that I picked to close the show with is a duet with both you, Linda, and Artie singing together and making beautiful music with a song that was popularized by the chairman of the board, Come Fly With Me. Linda and Artie, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Right now, I'm going to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.